and when did the Teamsters first become interested in organizing farm workers?
How and when did they first become interested? Well, the first contract that they signed that actually covers farm workers in the sense of people who work in the field was in 1960, I believe it would be, 60, with Bud Annell, the lettuce grower in the Salinas area. And after that, the next year, they signed contracts with the Mapes Produce Company, also a lettuce company. And shortly after that, they signed contracts with the Yoder Brothers. The way they came, became into the farm labor is through a request from the farm workers. Normal procedure is when the employees request representatives, they either call or get in touch with somebody they know that's an organizer or works for the union and tell if the voice is an interest if they want to be in farm labor. And they were back in agriculture back in the early 40s. Covered some dairy workers and packing shed workers and cannery workers, which is all considered agricultural labor. Produce drivers have been under contract for 30 years.
Okay, now is your organization organizing workers nationwide?
No, right now I believe we're just concentrating in the Western Conference, which would be the 13 Western states, mainly in California, where we have the Agricultural Regulations Act to work with.
Okay, why do growers in California seem more willing to work with the Teamsters rather than the UFW?
Well, I think you better ask a grower that. I don't know if they're willing to work with Teamsters. I know that in the Coachella Valley here recently, we had over 100 arrests of Teamster members and organizers for trespassing on grower property.
Okay. What would you say are the major differences between your contracts and the UFW's contracts?
I think that we provide a better service. We have more qualified people in there. I think that the contracts that we've been able to obtain contain better working conditions and benefits and higher wages for the employees. I think we beat them hands down, and there are a number of contracts that you can compare and set them side by side, such as the ones that were just recently negotiated in the Salinas Valley on the companies that we have received certifications on. The United Farm Workers received certification. They signed a contract for a minimum hourly rate of 310. On the contracts that we've just negotiated, the minimum rate is 335. They have a medical plan that is called the Robert F. Kennedy plan, that the people have to go to wherever they've got a clinic to get service. We have a medical plan that's just been negotiated. It's a $49 plan, and I don't know all the benefits yet because the bathroom hasn't come out, but it includes dental, and they can go to any doctor they want anywhere in the world and be covered. It's not restricted to one area. It also gives them the freedom to go and work wherever they want instead of going through a hiring hall and being assigned to a certain company. Numerous other benefits, so that's why I think that we're doing a better job. We've negotiated holiday pay that goes to the employees, not to the union. If you look in the union contracts and see the Chavez, you'll see he has four paid holidays, but one of them, all the money goes to the unions.
Okay, just in your opinion, why would you say a farm worker would rather work for the Teamsters than the UFW?
In my opinion, well, I think it's a matter of, how do we say it, I'm looking for the right word, it's just looking to give him the better service and the freedom that he needs to and take home the money that he needs to survive with and to provide for his family. It's just that I think we can provide a better working condition for the farm worker, and that's what I felt about. Mm-hmm.
And why would somebody prefer the UFW, a farm worker?
You have to ask the UFW or the farm worker that question.
The UFW is affiliated with the AFL-CIO, and Teamsters have not always been on the best of terms with them. Is there any coincidence to the fact that they're now opposing each other in the fields? Looks like you've always been on opposite ends with the AFL-CIO.
No, I don't think that's true. We supported a lot of AFL-CIO strikes, and they supported a lot of our strikes, and I don't think that's necessarily true with all the affiliates in the AFL-CIO. We worked hand-in-hand with them for years, and this is just an issue that we can't seem to come to some agreement on. It's our position that there's a law out there now, and if the farm workers choose Teamsters, then we're here to represent them. As long as they want us here, we'll be here. And they're not somebody who can just say, well, here, AFL, take them because you want.
The UFW has been called a civil rights group rather than a labor union. Do you have any comments to make on that? How do you feel about
that? No, I think that all labor unions are social movements. And that's what it's all about, to improve people's way of living. I have no comment on that. As far as the AFL, I found it to be a civil rights movement.
How many of your members migrate from harvest to harvest now?
I'd say roughly about 10%.
10%. Are there any problems involved with the migratory workers?
Well, sure there is. You know, it's some of the problems could be that they're working in a company now, picking grapes, and the grievance occurs, and it's getting towards the end of the harvest, and by the time you get the grievance just about settled, you go back out to the field, and the guy's gone down to the next ranch. So it does create problems with the of servicing, but as spread out as we are now, I think that the, and the communications that we have with one another, and it might be of interest to you, we have an agricultural division within the Western Conference Teamsters, and that division has formed a policy committee that is comprised of all the agricultural locals in the state of California, and the purpose of this was to better take to be able to handle the problems of the farm workers a little bit better and get all working on a uniform plan. So the lines of communications are open, where if Jose works for us here, and then we move into another area of, where we have Teamster offices, we would have a line of communications and be able to communicate with one another better. So we are stepping forward and trying to give as much service as possible to the farm workers.
It seems that mechanization is taking over a lot of farm workers' jobs at this point, and what do you think will happen to the farm workers who are left out of work because of this? Or do you think that that's
I think that's inevitable. It happened in every industry that I know of. Machinery has replaced a lot of it. Our goal is to train farm workers and hopefully their children, try to stabilize the workforce so that their children it won't be necessary for them to go out in the fields, that they can become professionals and work another career, work in other phases of employment. And to guarantee those farm workers that are now in the fields that they will have the first opportunity of taking jobs that require skills in the machines and such as that, train them to take those jobs and hopefully stabilize the workforce enough that the children of now of the farm worker can get an education. He won't have to move from town to town and get enough education to qualify for better jobs and not have to go out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah. Do you expect to see the changes occur, like, say, in the next 10 years or so?
I couldn't really say that. Depends on what these growers intend to do. There's a lot of jobs out there that a machine will never be able to do.
But you are taking responsibility of training people to fit them into whatever is going to...
All our contracts, we've negotiated training programs, and the one that we just negotiated here recently with Dalton Richardson is we've got a mechanization clause that will guarantee the workers that are now on the ranch the first opportunity of being trained to operate machinery or equipment in the event that it does come and prohibit the companies from just firing masses of people and hiring outside qualified people without first giving them an opportunity. But the whole thing is to try to stabilize this workforce, to cut down on the movement of people up and down the state, stabilize and give them enough wages and benefits where they don't have to go in the wintertime and work. And this was one of the reasons that the Teamsters were the first ones in the history of farm labor to organize, I mean to provide for unemployment insurances in their contracts. On the other hand, Cesar Chavez and the United Farm Workers took the position that it should be a state and federal thing, that they shouldn't have to negotiate them into their contracts. We negotiated them in the 1970. Negotiated unemployment benefits into the field contracts were negotiated. One of the purposes of that was to stabilize the workforce so that when the guy finished the season, like for example in the Salinas Valley, where there's 7 months of work during the harvest time, the guy could draw unemployment benefits and he wouldn't have to take his kids out of school in the middle of winter and move down and work for $85, $90 a week in the Imperial Valley. Try to make it so he could buy a house and keep his kids in school.
When the Agricultural Labor Relations Board was refused refunding last year, were you satisfied with the law, with the board, the way it was operating then?
We took the position, and it's on record at the Senate hearings, that we didn't have any real gripes about the way the law was written. We had numerous gripes about the way it was being administered. And our main issue was to assure that all parties got equal treatment. We felt that the governor appointed people onto the board, and at that time it was Leroy Chatfield, Bishop Mahoney, who was still there, and what's the other guy's name? Ortega, were definitely sympathizers and supporters of the United Farm Workers, and it was very obvious. I mean, this is a state board, it's supposed to be equal to all parties, and we didn't feel it was. We stated it, and we had documented proof that they were, that the members and the board agents of the board were biased in favor of the United Farm Workers. Those records are available to you if you'd like copies of them. Instances of board agents telling people at pre-election conferences that let's hurry up and get this over with so the Teamsters can't get on the ballot. Board agents wearing United Farm Worker buttons when they were conducting elections. And this is all documented, and there's copies of it that we've made available up there to the senators and state legislators.
There was one incident in the Salinas area where on December 2nd there was a hearing held for five artichoke growers and Teamsters and the UFL. Well, we won the elections and they were contesting the elections, so I went and attended those hearings. There was a fellow by the name of William W. Miller that came in and he sat as the attorney for the UFW, and the hearings were completed. A month later, on January 2nd or 4th of 1976, I walked in for another hearing for William Buick Company, which is a large apple grower in the Watsonville area, where the Teamsters won. And I walk in, and who was sitting as the hearing officer for behalf of the board? William W. Miller. So a month before, he was a UFW attorney, and the following month, he's sitting as a hearing officer that's going to hear, you know, the both sides of the party, their problems. And then I asked him about 15 times if he excused himself at the hearing for being biased and favored. playing favoritism. He says, no, he says, I'm going to look at this very objectively, and says, I promise to give you a good decision. To this date, you know, that was about the time the board was running out of money, that, and we don't know what happened to that or what the outcome of that's going to be.
That's just one of many instances, and probably the most publicized was the fact that when the board was open here in Fresno, they accepted between 9,000 and 12,000 cards, some which were over a year old, signed by the United Farm Workers, and these cards were filed in alphabetical order. And when the United Farm Workers would intervene on any petition that we filed, they would say, see, card submitted. So the LRB would accommodate them and go through the 12,000 cards on file. And if Jose Gonzalez appeared in that file, and Jose Gonzalez appeared on the payroll list supplied by the employers, they would count him as an employee of that company, not knowing if that was the same employee or not. Therefore, allowing them to intervene. In this one particular case of Conda Brothers, they intervened in the election, the petition to file for an election. The outcome of that, there were some 50 people eligible to vote. The outcome was 44-0 in favor of the Teamsters. All 44 of the employees signed a petition saying they had never signed an authorization card with the United Farm Workers and wondering why they were allowed to be on the ballot. Presented this to the ALRB, and this is when they said that they had taken it from the mass filings of cards. But in order for them to intervene, they had to have, what, 20%? 20%. They had to have 20% of the employees who were on the payroll in order to intervene in an election. Had they gotten the 6 that didn't vote, they would have still been 4 short. It took us approximately 7 months to get a certification on Conda Brothers. And all the ALRB said was, well, they didn't know about it. They didn't have any explanation.
Other problems that we had in Salinas area, where I was at the time of the election, was the regional director told us to our face that, because, see, under the statute, they have so much time to hand in objections to elections so they can be on the docket and be put up for hearing. Because we were told by the ALRB office in Salinas that the timestamps that we use on the official documents were moved back for the convenience that the UFW could hand in their objections in a timely manner. Because after 5 days, if you don't get your objection, and after 5 days of the election, that's it. So they even told us to our face that they turned those time clocks back and stamped the documents so that they'd be timely filed. On one day, September 24th, the UFW submitted over 44 objections to elections in the span of 15 minutes from 4:45 to 5 o'clock. It roughly takes 5 minutes with all the paperwork just to submit one, all the different stamping that you have to do and all the duplication of everything. How in the hell can they, you know, submit 44 objections to elections in the span of 15 minutes? And before, you know, well, we changed the clock back. And then after that, we brought that to the general counsel's attention and the board. And then they put a little memo out saying the official office will be, you know, the closing office will be at 5 o'clock sharp, and there will be no more accepting them. You know, but it was after that incident. There were, even the bishop told us ourselves that they had lost files, complete files of elections and everything, where the Teamsters won. And one of them in particular was a very large company where we had, where we won by a large majority. So we said it was Growers Exchange Company, which covers over 350, 400 people. And they lost that complete file.
You know, we could probably sit here all day on the LRB. This is Ellen Drake, the attorney for the Groton up there, who's a member of the five-man board, is also the attorney on record in lawsuits filed against us by the United Farm Workers. So we could probably go on all day, but all this stuff is available and it's documented and it was presented up there to Senate hearings.
You get that from Senator Zinovich.
Zinovich, the committee of the chairman. We might have some copies. We could get Dr. Carol Cook and have copies of all the stuff we put in. I think you'd be amazed. And you've never been sued because of it. So that's got to tell you something.
Jay, how do you feel about the access rules? Do you feel that you and the UFW both had a fair chance to present your cases to the workers?
We supported the access rule, and we'll continue to support it. I think both parties were afforded equal time with the farm workers with the access rule. I think we're both afforded equal opportunities out there. Where they held contracts and had a visitation rights, they probably got in more than we did. When we held contracts with visitation rights, we probably got more contact with them.
So you don't really feel that anyone was given preferential treatment over the other?
I don't see the access rule quite equally to both parties.
Okay. Since the ALRB has been refunded, do you want to, well, you obviously don't want to see it restored as it was.
No, the only thing we're asking for is the ALRB is to treat all parties equal, and that we feel that they should screen their employees a little bit more thoroughly than they did the last time around. There were a number of United Farm Workers and Pleasures acting as board agents that were working in key positions on the board. And we really have no comment as to the board. We just have to wait and see how they operate. We do feel that their first order of business should be to get hearings on all the elections that have already been conducted and either order re-run elections or issue certification. It's been almost a year now. And I don't know if you know it or not, but we won 85% of the elections that were held in the Delano Fern Delary area. And probably 90% where it was a head-to-head confrontation between Teamsters and United Farm Workers and us people in the Fern Delary area.
So, how do you feel about Chavez's initiative coming up on November?
We'll probably end up supporting it.
I think so. I think it's pretty fair.
Yeah. The law is just the way it's written now.
Okay.
I never had any complaints about the law itself, just the way it was administered.
Do you find now that growers are accepting more of the collective bargaining with farm workers?
Yeah, I think it's inevitable that employers realize now, after the first series of elections were held, that the farm workers do want union representation. And I think they'll, in the future, they'll learn to deal with it. They have to. If they've got a choice, you know, I mean, I think only around 3% of the vote went for a non-union vote throughout the state.
Okay. And would you say that a farm worker's right to collective bargaining is the same as any other workers?
Well, it should be. If it's not, it should be.
How do the UFW organizing procedures differ from yours?
I've never been a United Farm Worker.
Okay. What sort of organizing methods do you use?
Sort of organizing methods do we use? Well, we have to abide by the state law, as it is now, and that is to assign a majority of the employees on the current payroll and then make a representation and file a petition with the ALRB. This is done in various ways, either contacting people at their homes or in the fields in the day, and it's something like a salesman. You tell them what you have to offer and what you have in other areas, and ask them to let you be your representative. In many cases, they come to us and say, I don't have a union in my ranch, or what do I have to do? And then we explain to them, well, you have to have at least 51%. We explain the law, what it says. Mm-hmm. And, we compare that particular job that they're doing with other jobs in the same geographical area and wages and benefits that those workers are receiving. And we always tell them that we'll try to get you this. This is just a comparable thing. When it comes down to it, just like yesterday, the contract was signed, it has to be ratified by the membership in order to accept those benefits or not. And that's basically what it is.
What do you think about Cesar Chavez? What sort of a leader is he?
Great man.
Okay. Do you think there'd be any UFW without his leadership and his personality?
Well, probably would still continue.
Do you think his control is pretty firm?
No. We control these people, his lieutenants, the people underneath him.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's very lax. I don't know if he's the one responsible or not, but all that non-violence you've heard about is part of the suppression of pure bullshit. And as you can see by the recent case, this big, this Juan de la Cruz, and I don't want to see anybody killed in this thing, it shouldn't be, but they made a big issue of that, made the man a martyr, and now the guy's been found innocent. Now what are they going to say? And witnesses have testified in that hearing have turned their testimony around. They testified that the pickets were very peaceful and demonstrated, and then turned around and testified that the only reason they did that, that they didn't want to spoil the nonviolence image that the United Farm Workers had created in the press. These are their own witnesses, and we have the old record from day one until now. I don't know if you've... You're welcome to a copy of it. Every article that's coming out because of the incident. It follows the whole case from the day it happened until the day of the acquittal. It's right here.
I'll give this to you in 509 statements by people that have actually on the witness stand said they perjured themselves.
And she said not to destroy the
farm. You can have that as your complete story on the death of Juan Cruz from beginning to end.
Okay. How independent is the farm workers faction of your union?
Well,
who are its leaders?
Well, I am the secretary treasurer. These two people are the ones that are in head of each of the sub-offices, Pete and Delano, Louis and Salinas. The senior business agent in Calexico is a man by the name of Johnny Macias. In Oxnard, it's a man by the name of Ben Guerrero. In Salinas, it's a person by the name of Roy Mendoza. I'm also the chairman of the Agricultural Division Policy Committee. These people are members of that committee. So it's pretty independent. It's run by our membership. We have monthly meetings. Before we pass anything, it's got to be by the approval of the membership. So I had the contract was signed yesterday. It's very independent.
That would go along the lines, you know, the thing that's come out for years and years is that the farm workers under the Teamsters are dominated by the Anglo faction. Well, we are the people, suppose, I guess you want to call us leaders or whatever, we are the people that are responsible for the lives and the working conditions and the future of the farm workers that are our members. Okay, they say Fitzsimmons is the general president, okay? George Meany is an Anglo. He's the president of the FL-CIO, which Cesar Chavez is affiliated to. So they always say, well, you know, you got Fitzsimmons as the boss of the farm workers. Well, he's not the boss of the farm workers. I mean, we are the ones that take care of the people here. Filipinos, Mexicans, Arabs, all races, blacks, whatever, because that's what makes up the farm workers' fields.
If there was a discrimination charge filed against them, it would be by an Anglo.
Yeah.
So we only have two people, Carol and Juanita. The only two people in this whole local that are Anglo faction, or whatever you call them.
That's not the case, though, in United Farm Workers. If you trace it down, you see Cesar Chavez, you see Cesar, you hear Dolores. And after that, it's all Anglo. Ben Maddox runs this Delano office. Sandy Nathan was running the Salinas office, Terry Cohen and Sandy Nathan, a number of angles run their operations. So it's, to me, it's a big farce. You know, they say that the farm workers run their organization, but I don't really believe that.
How did you get started working for the Teamsters?
I was working in the lettuce in 1970. I was closing lettuce boxes. And I was approached and asked if I would like to help organize farm workers. I said yes. I started working in 1970 for the Teamsters. Pete also was working in the lettuce in the Springs area in 1973. In fact, with the exception of maybe one or two of the business agents that deal in service and handle these farm workers in this industry, every one of them came out of the field in some commodity, right, directly out of the field.
Can either you or the UFW count on the allegiance of your members, or is it more like they'll go over to the union that offers them the best deal?
No, I don't really think so. I think that we can count on our members. I think they've proven it to us by voting for us. In many cases, we were working under conditions which were probably as, to their liking as well as the United Farm Worker. In that respect, our best members now are former United Farm Worker members. Our most loyal and trusted members are former United Farm Worker members. Who has had to live under some of the conditions of his hiring all of this.
How do you expect that the boycotts and everything of the UFW will affect you, and how do the Teamsters counter them?
I don't think they'll affect us. Because of the State Agricultural Labor Relations Act now, I think the people back east are getting fed up with hearing boycott this, boycott that. Public information now that there is an act in California, and you can scream all you want to on it. I just don't think this boycott is going to be successful. In California, it's illegal. See, so he didn't really give up. I don't even think he really wants an act. He's very truthful.
There was an article in the paper, I think yesterday, the day before the Bakersfield, California, where Caesar's going to start a nationwide boycott of products coming out of Florida. So in other words, he's going back, you know, he's going to start in Florida like he did in California 10, 12 years ago. Not organizing farm workers, but organizing boycotts. And again, if a farmer can't sell his product, he's going to have to sign a contract. Well, that was in the big show, California. I don't know what his goals are, what's going to turn out of it, but again, that's showing his tactics again. He's a good boycott organizer, but then after he gets the contract, the people don't say so.
In fact, in the Stockton area, there's a company that received a certification that they have approached us to ask us if we could go in and get another election for decertification. Because it's my understanding that he replaced all the permanent members of that company with his organizers and the people that had picketed with him, even though some of those people have worked for that non-union company for 10, 15 years and helped him. Organizing that particular company. That's one of their main gripes, is their loss of seniority. In other words, if he wins an election and their seniority is not by the number of years you worked in the company, it's by the number of years that you've been a member of this union. This is very bad, especially where you've got some of the tractor drivers, irrigators who've been with the employer, say, 15, 20 years. They're hesitant to join the union, and so they're penalized by the union telling them, well, you're number 30 on the hiring list and the employer only needs 20, so we have to wait until we have another dispatch phase.
Do you use labor contractors?
We do not prohibit the use of labor contractors, but in the event an employer uses a labor contractor, the labor contractor's employees must be on the company payroll. The company is responsible for making the payroll for that labor contractor, and the employees of the labor contractor are assured all the benefits of the contract.
Plus, you know, protections and
everything, all the benefits, all benefits, conditions, wages.
That's not only our contract, but that's federal law. It was an amendment put in the Fair Labor Standards Act, December 74, I think, maybe 73.
It was in our contracts prior to the weekend.
Is he driving in his contracts? He has subcontracting articles too.
Which is, he's claimed he's never had, never given the company, he's claimed he's wiped out all the labor contractors, but it says right in his interim contract, if the hiring hall cannot furnish enough labor, the company can seek a labor contract.
Why do you think that George Meany doesn't help the UFW more than he does?
I don't have any idea. You'd have to ask George Meany.
You really have to ask his membership.
Yeah. I think you might have some opinion on it.
I know that there's a great deal of confusion among their membership where United Farm Workers has boycotted the picketed stores where their AFL-CIO members working, and they refused to honor the picket lines or the boycott.
Right now, my own personal opinion is that Cedar Chavez is being thrown in Meany's side. And he stuck his head so far out for Cedar Chavez that he doesn't know how to gracefully, you know, not back up and just say, hey, you know, I don't want no part of you anymore. And right now, Meany's caught in between a rock and a hard place. And I feel he made his own bed, let him sleep in it now. But like Matthew says, you think, you know, when they were boycotting Gallo Wine, who makes the wine? The wine and wine distillery workers, the AFL-CIO.
Last growers make the bottles of the wine for
the AFL-CIO.
AFL-CIO. So they're boycotting their own people that are supporting them, that they're asking money from to help them. There's a lot of distinction, I guess, from the AFL-CIO and some of the United Farm Officers. When they say they have the support of the AFL-CIO, they have the support of me, not the entire AFL-CIO.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No. Just maybe quash the rumor that's been going around that we intend to give up the farm workers. I don't know if you read it in the LA Times back in June, but there was articles out that we're making deals with the United Farm Workers to give up. This is Harry Bernstein. You know, I think United Farm Workers have him in his back pocket, but started some rumors out that were it caused quite a bit of confusion among our members. But we clear that up. We have no intention of getting out of farm labor. As long as the Teamster Farm Workers want us here, we'll be here. I hope that helps you.
Thank you very much.
All the things we've telling you has been documented, and they're available to you.
Okay.
You just leave your name and get to Carol and Pete. I think you've had some of the documented evidence that we've produced. There's just a numerous piles of incidents that happened during the administering of this Agricultural Labor Relations Act. I think you'd be shocked if you read some of it.
If you'd like to, we can put your meeting list. I'll give you a copy of the latest edition of that.
Sure.
If you want, we can get it on a monthly basis.
Yeah, one other thing. At the convention that was just held in June, there was a resolution passed to continue to support the farm labor program. There were 2,254 delegates to that convention representing every local and the international federal teachers, and they voted unanimously to support the teacher farm program. That's it. Sign the contract.
How and when did the Teamsters first become interested in organizing farm workers?
Well, the first contract that they signed that actually covers farm workers in the sense of people who work in the field was in 1960, I believe it would be 60, with Bud Annell, the lettuce grower in the Salinas area. And after that, the next year, they signed contracts with the Mapes Produce Company, also a lettuce company. And shortly after that, they signed contracts with Yoder Brothers. The way they became into the farm labor is through the request from the farm workers. Our procedure is when the employees request representatives, they either call or get in touch with somebody they know that's an organizer or works for the union and tell if voices an interest if they want to be in farm labor. And they were back in agriculture back in the early 40s. Covered some dairy workers and packing shed workers and cannery workers, which is all considered agricultural labor. Produce drivers have been under contract for 30 years.
Is your organization organizing workers nationwide?
No, right now I believe we're just concentrating in the Western Conference, which would be the 13 Western states, mainly in California, where we have the Agricultural Labor Relations Act to work with.
Okay, why do growers in California seem more willing to work with the Teamsters rather than the UFW?
Well, I think you better ask a grower that. I don't know if they're willing to